Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
Welcome back, 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Go there and check it out. Use it to your advantage. Lots of good stuff there that will help you. Don't forget our good friend Joel Barker's website. That's joelbarker.com. Lots of good stuff there, too. Joel, talk to us about some of the new things that are coming at us. What's this stuff about artificial life?
Well, it's here. This is a huge deal, by the way. In fact, it's so huge that we're just beginning to understand the ripples. But Craig Venter, you know, who has been one of the leaders in taking the genes apart and basically mapping the genomes, has built the first synthetic cell, in which they built a synthetic chromosome, and it reproduces. It replicates itself. Now, it's very simple.
Should my ethical antenna be coming up right now?
Everybody's ethical antenna should be coming up right now, and it's not just ethical antennas. It's long-term implications in general antennas have to go up on this, because, of course, the thesis is... This is just a simple little molecule, a simple little creature, and you know, we don't have to worry about it. Doesn't have any threat, and that's probably true. But the fact is, what we've got now is a pathway that allows the construction of synthetic life, and that is an issue that you know, it's been talked about, you know, forever. Yeah. Almost. Well, we are at that forever point.
Are we getting to a point where science? As my dad would say, if he were thinking about this, if he could have thought about this, my dad would say, where science is getting too big for its britches?
You know, if you really think about it, science has always been too big for its britches. And that's why it's done so well. Because scientists take on really impossible questions, and sometimes they fail at it. Fusion is a good example. But this is an example where not only did they not fail, but they've now... It's not just the one thing; it's the process of doing it.
We can all imagine the unethical applications of this.
Oh.
What are the ethical applications? What would we like about this?
Well, the ethical applications are you can produce very specific cells, single cells, to produce gasoline, to produce diesel fuel, to produce plastics, to produce. And as your new manufacturing base is living creatures. Whose chromosomes have been designed to excrete specific materials, and that's a
so it's not just impact. It's not just human cells.
Oh no! This is, in fact, think of the opposite. This is much closer to a bacteria than it is to a cell. And by the way, they used yeast cells to assemble the chromosomes for the bacterial cells.
So we can grow. This is a renewable potential energy source, as opposed to a consumable and depletionary energy source.
In fact, think about it this way. It's actually a plant, and the wrong word, it's a manufacturing facility for making sustainable energy using the CO2, by the way, from the air that we're worried about.
Yeah.
CO2 properly arranged becomes methane, becomes a fuel. You know, so yes, it's pretty interesting.
You know, Joel,
we're doing it.
I saw a cartoon in the New Yorker the other day, and it was two guys standing behind three robots, and we're in front of computers.
Yep.
And the guy said, "Our robots have become self-aware, and they've become self-loathing, and they're writing novels."
And they're good novels.
talk to us about the concrete story.
Well, this is kind of the other end of the spectrum, because, you know, you talk about making synthetic life. This is just concrete. But what most people don't know is concrete, when you make it, produces a whole bunch of CO2. Because it takes heat, and that's natural gas, right?
Right.
Okay, well, a company named Novacem, Novacem, has developed a new recipe for concrete so that it absorbs as much as 100 kilograms of carbon dioxide per ton when you're pouring it and using it. Basically,
it doesn't just, and is this absorbing its own carbon or extra carbon?
No, this is out of the air. This is extra carbon.
So it not only doesn't emit carbon, it actually eats carbon?
It's a sponge. It's a CO2 sponge. And once it gets it inside, it actually chemically locks it up so it's no longer releasable.
Wow.
So it's really captured. And if you think about it, the number, there was 2.8 billion metric tons of cement produced in 2009.
And a lot of it in a place where we don't need any more carbon. That's China.
That's right. That's right. So this is one of these places where technology properly used begins to mitigate the dilemmas that we have.
And this is the kind of innovation, Joel, that I've been talking about now. I talked about it in the last hour, that the governments need to be encouraging
Absolutely.
To solve the global warming Absolutely. Climate change issue
yep.
rather than the stick. This
yep.
is the carrot thing.
Yep, this is something you should get a little benefit for building
yeah.
your building out of this.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Hey, Joel, I got to wrap it up. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. It's always too short when you're here. Hope you had a good time. We had a great time. Thank you for doing a great job. Will you come back again real soon?
Sure will, Jim. Good
Thank
talking
you.
To
Joel
you.
Barker, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, one of the great futurists of our age. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.